Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we lift you up this morning and we just want to say thank you for all that you have done for us. Your faithfulness, your unending love. We just say thank you. We praise your name and we ask that you bless Brother Cal as he preaches and teaches from God's word, that we may open our hearts, that we may be transformed by it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. I do want to say also that I couldn't do what I do without our support staff here. From Andrew and Lauren and Taryn, and well, here I go naming names. I'll leave somebody out, but I want to thank you all for what you do. And I'm grateful that God's putting a team together, and I'm just so excited about this next year. And I'm excited about Jesus. And if you're here today and you love the Lord, give him some great praise today. Hallelujah. 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 We're in John chapter 5 this morning, and this is the last of a sermon series on an open door in 24 of evangelism, an open door in 24 of soul winning, an open door in 24 of witnessing. That's what we've been talking about the last three Sundays. We're going to conclude this last message today in Luke chapter 5. I've entitled the message, Go Light Your World. How many of you, was it Debbie Boone? I just thought about that. I'm showing my age. Some of y'all don't even know who Debbie Boone is. You light up my life. That's it. Jesus is the light of the world, and he has placed that light within us. Let's stand as we honor God's word. Luke 5, if you can. If you can't, that's all right. I've got my brothers from the Adult and Teen Challenge Ministry here today. Great to have y'all back. Somehow the Holy Spirit always prompts them on the second Sunday to get here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Luke 5. Verse 27, after these things he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them, and their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said unto them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. We could all say amen to that. Amen. Father, bless the reading, the preaching, and the teaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You know, all throughout the scriptures, we are told that the Christian is to be a light. When the light of the world, Jesus, comes to take up residence in your heart and life, he places that light in you. He does. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so we're to let our light shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mercy me. We're to let our light shine. And I want to talk to you about going and lighting up this world for Jesus Christ this morning. Now, what does light do? Well, whenever light begins to shine, it exposes the darkness. And when darkness is exposed to light, the darkness has to flee. And bless God, that's where we come in, church family, right there. Some of y'all are going to follow this a little bit later, and you'll get it. But light exposes darkness. And we live in a dark city. We live in a spiritually dark state. We live in a dark nation. This is a dark world. And God has placed His light within us so that we may take the light of the Lord Jesus to a lost and dark world. Now, we're talking here about witnessing, soul winning, da 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 da. You may not be a Billy Graham. You may not even be a Franklin Graham. You may not be a Junior Hill or whoever you're, Billy Sunday. You may not be a great evangelist. And by the way, those guys were great at winning people to faith in Jesus Christ, but that's okay. Because God hadn't called us to be them. He just called us to be us. And here's what you can do. You can let your light so shine that God will be glorified and people will be exposed to the light and darkness will flee and folks will be saved. And so I love this account of Matthew's conversion in Luke's gospel. I love it. and it's, you know, Matthew, the tax collector, gets saved. And then his subsequent soul winning and evangelism follows that. It's just thrilling to me. How many of you like to be around a brand new believer? Aren't they on fire? Man, I love to be around new believers, new Christians, because they got a bad dose of I can't help it. And it just spills out into everywhere, doesn't it? Amen? And so there are three things in this text that will help our light to shine brightly. Are y'all ready for this? Are y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
Go ahead and lie. Tell me, are y'all ready for this?
Yeah,
yeah, it won't help you, but this will help me. Hallelujah. So the first thing that we need to understand so that our light will shine brightly for Christ and light up this world is to realize simply that people are lost. Just to realize that people are lost. Now, Matthew, in verse 27, after these things, he went out, that's Jesus, and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. And so Matthew was a tax collector. He worked for the Roman IRS. Don't you love the IRS? And Matthew had a really good job. And I think the Roman authorities looked at him probably as a corporate executive of the Roman IRS. He was a tax collector. But he was not only charging his Jewish brothers and sisters the tax that they owed, he was adding a little something-something on top of it. And guess what? He would send Rome what they were due, and then he would put the extra where? That's right. And he was getting filthy rich. And a lot of the Jews hated him. They didn't like him. He was getting wealthy off of his Jewish brothers and sisters. Now, here's where Jesus comes into the story. Now, the Bible says that Jesus said in Luke 19, just a little bit further over in his gospel, in Luke 19:10, that he came to seek and save that which was lost. Everywhere Jesus went, he's looking for lost people. I mean, everywhere he went, he's looking for folks who are in darkness, spiritual darkness, who need a relationship with him. And so he walks into the tax office that day, and the Shekinah glory of God stepped into that IRS office, and Matthew got into the presence of the light, and his spiritual darkness was exposed, and he was wonderfully and gloriously and immediately saved. Hallelujah. And so Matthew, how do you know, Cal, that he was saved? Well, did you not read that? I mean, the Bible says he immediately got up and left a lucrative job and began to follow Jesus. You see, Jesus knew that Matthew was lost. And Matthew, while he may have been wealthy and he may have had a great position and he may, some people looked up to him, a lot of people, hey, it didn't matter, but he had a big problem. He was lost as a golf ball in high weeds. You can have everything that this world has to offer and still be lost, walking in spiritual darkness. And Jesus walked into that office and turned the light bulb on. Hallelujah. And so Matthew came to faith in Jesus right there in the tax office. You can get saved anywhere. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so when Jesus said, follow me, that's exactly what Matthew did. He left all of that stuff and began to follow Jesus. Now, I want to submit to the church this morning. We also need to realize that people are lost. People are lost. People are without Christ. And by the way, you were once lost as well. I was once lost. And I just think if we could begin to see people the way Jesus saw people. I mean, Jesus said, when he looked at folks, he said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. He saw people as being hopeless and helpless, without a future, without any peace, without any real meaning in their life, without any purpose in their life. He just saw them as broken and helpless. He saw them as walking in spiritual darkness. And I want to tell you, that's where we've got to get if we're ever going to be the soul winners God wants us to be. Well, we got six amens there. Now, y'all do know that Dwight Dixon taught a witnessing class for 3 weeks in the Sunday school hour with our adults. And we asked the adults to get signed up to share their faith just once a week with somebody. Just once a week. And what I didn't know was, I don't know if it was Lauren or Terry Perry or who was it? TP. And she asked any of the children back here if they would be willing to share their faith just once a week. Now, this little young lady came running up to me Wednesday night before prayer meeting, and she said, Brother Cal, I got to tell you something. All right, where's Tyler Ann? Where is she? Now's the time, Tyler Ann. Come on. Come on. I want you all to hear this. Scripture says, out of the mouths of babes. Here she is. And she, come on, scoot over closer to me. Yeah. You make me look a whole lot better. Plus, I'm warm, too. Tyler Ann, I wanted you to tell them what happened last week. She came running up to him. She said, I got to share my faith with two people this week. How old are you?
9.
How old are you?
9.
How old are you?
9.
Y'all getting this? Now, tell me about the first person that you shared with, okay? Just tell me what happened.
The first person, they didn't have a good life, and their parents didn't like her, and her parents tried to sell her to a different person. And I invited her to our church, and I told her about the kids shine in our service.
Amen. In other words, she saw somebody that needed Jesus. She saw someone that was lost and needed Jesus. Now, I tell you, I think I really like that. I like the first testimony you gave me, but you jumped on the second one, and I want you all to hear about the second one she shared with.
The second one was this guy thought at my school that Jesus didn't love him, and I told him Jesus loves everyone, and he didn't know. He asked me how Jesus was how he came alive and how Earth was alive, and I like broke it up into some pieces and told them about that.
Hallelujah! And now you know what we're going to do, Tyler Ann? We're going to pray that God would save those two people because of your witness. Hallelujah. Y'all give Tyler Ann a great big shout. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thing that we need to do in order for our light to shine brightly like hers did this past week is to just simply realize that people are lost. Here's the second one. By the way, you got lost people all around you. They're in your neighborhood. They're at the school lunchroom. They're everywhere. They're out these four walls. Everywhere. Realize that people are lost. 85% of the folks in Clarksville don't attend church anywhere. And more than likely, hello? Here's the second thing. If you want your light to shine brightly, not only need to realize that people are lost, but you need to recognize that people need love. Look at verse 29. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Now, Matthew is saved. He's following Jesus. And I want you to know something. Matthew didn't have a clue about all these Southern Baptist soul winning programs. He didn't know continuous witness training, CWT. He didn't know about evangelism explosion, EE. He didn't know about the net that NAM came up with. He didn't know about the faith program that Bobby Welch came up with a few years ago. He didn't know, Dwight, he didn't even know the four spiritual laws. He didn't know the Roman road. But what he did know is that all his buddies and all his friends needed the love that only Jesus could give to them. Hallelujah. And the old song's right. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. You're only going to get the love that you need in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor. Whoever your neighbor is, whoever you're sitting by. And just say, God loves you. He does. And that's how we're going to win people. That's how our light's going to shine brightly. We're going to win people to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I love this story. I love this. Do you know what Matthew does? He doesn't know any kind of doctrine. He can't quote the books of the Bible. He probably doesn't even know John 3:16. But here's what he does. He says, you know what? My buddies need to know the love of Christ. They need to experience this love. And so I think I'm just going to throw a big reception in the Lord's honor and invite all of my buddies to come to my house so that they can meet Jesus. What a great idea! Isn't that a good idea? Oh, come on, y'all. That's a great idea. Hallelujah. Now, here's the deal. Lost folks may not come through these doors, but they'll come to a pool party at your house. They'll come to a barbecue. I promise you, you just invite them and they'll come. You throw a big party. I was going to say, get your karaoke machine or whatever and they'll come. I don't know about all that. But I want to tell you, just invite some folks to come to your house and start loving on them with the love of Jesus. Turn that light on, and you know what? Sooner or later, they'll want something that you've got, and that something is someone named Jesus. Amen. Just invite them to your home to spend some time with you. Isn't this good stuff? We make something so stinking hard out of it. I can't witness. I don't know what to say. Just invite them to your house and be real with them. You got a story to tell. What has Jesus done for you? Hello? Can y'all tell I'm amped up about this. This is where we need to get to. But now, you do know this. just put this in your mind here. They're all at Matthew's house. He's got them in the presence of the Lord, the great lover of our souls. And all these big sinners are there. And the very first thing that Jesus and the disciples hear is from the cold water committee. Critics. And they said, "What are y'all doing?" Can you imagine scolding Jesus for anything that he ever did? What are you doing? You don't need to be hanging out with these sinners. Their motto was, "No sinners allowed." Can I just clue y'all into something? Any person, any church that's trying to reach people for Jesus is going to encounter some opposition. And I want to tell you what, the Pharisees and the religious Sadducees and the scribes, they're all upset. And we shouldn't be surprised by that, because when you start sharing your faith and the church gets on fire for God and you see the baptistry water start being stirred, you've upset the apple cart in hell. You've upset Satan. But you need to know this. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and heavenly places. I like what, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And so when the critics come, and they will, if you're trying to do anything for the Lord, hey, you've upset the evil one. And when they come, you just tell them, "Get behind me, Satan." Just rebuke them in Jesus' name. Now, you don't have to start exercising demons and all that. Just rebuke them in Jesus' name. Okay? Y'all with me so far? And so the evil one's going to pull out all the stops. But I want to tell you, he don't want to see anybody saved. You do know that he wants to take as many people to hell as he can. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, not us. But you see, if you don't have Jesus, hello? And by the way, MoCo Day's coming. And that's the day that Second Mile Church is doing service projects all over Montgomery County. And we're loving on people with the love of Jesus. And we're going to let our light so shine that day that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. And you're going to have somebody in here is going to have a bad case. I can't help it. And say, "Do you know why we're flipping burgers here today for you? Because Jesus loves you." That's the answer, folks. The love of God. They can't turn away from that. The love. And so the second thing, I could go on and on with this. If you want your light to shine brightly for God's glory, you need to realize that people all around you are lost. And you need to recognize that people need love. Here's the third one. Watch this. Look at verse 31. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." Here's the third one. If you want your light to shine brightly for God's glory, you need to respect the fact that people need life. People need life. Now Jesus, and by the way, he says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician." The church, brothers and sisters, is not a country club for the saints. It's a hospital for sinners. That's who we are. That's who we are. And I want to tell you, I was in our We're going to have our annual meeting here in just a couple of weeks for our Cumberland Baptist Association. And we've got 47 Southern Baptist churches in Montgomery County. And I guarantee you half of them will have baptized no one this year. And as long as the church is a social club, you're not going to baptize anybody. The pews will be empty. There'll be no life change. People need life. By the way, wasn't that what Jesus said in John 10:10? Isn't that what he said? The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came that we might have life, but not just any kind of life, a powerful, supernatural, overflowing, abundant life. Do you have that kind of life? Well, that's what Jesus died and rose again for you to have. Life, real life. Hallelujah. And I guess I need to say this. Some of us are under the misnomer that Jesus came to make bad people good. No, Jesus came to make dead people come to life. Yeah. Ephesians 2:4 says we were dead in trespasses and sin. I'll never forget the very first video when I saw these zombies walking around. You remember the Michael Jackson video? And these zombies are walking around everywhere. Dead folks. That's who we were. Spiritually dead. Dead to God. Dead to one another. Dead to the world. Dead to spiritual matters. But when you got Jesus, when you surrendered to Him as your Lord and Savior, man, you came to life. He raises people from death unto life. He got you out of that darkness, and now you're walking in light. Hallelujah. Give God praise today. And can I just tell you, man, this verse wakes me up at night. It haunts me. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Few. Few. The vast majority of people are on the wide road that leads to hell. The vast majority of people. That's what Jesus said. Because they don't have a relationship with Him. And He went to your hell for you. And when He saved you, yeah, His salvation keeps you out of hell, but Jesus saved you to keep hell out of you. Do I need to say that again? His salvation keeps you out of hell, but He saved you to keep hell out of you. He's the difference maker. Hallelujah. But we need to see people in this light, that people need life. People are on their way to a devil's hell. We need to see people like that. Billy, one of my favorite evangelists, was out of Chicago. He was a shoe salesman. His name was D.L. Moody. And he got a bad case of Jesus. I mean, he got full of the Spirit. God saved him. He left the shoe repair business and went into full-time evangelism. And this cat touched two continents for Christ last century. And he was in a Holy Ghost heaven-sent revival meeting over in Europe, specifically London. And I mean, people were getting saved left and right. And he was just having a fabulous time. And so one afternoon before the services, he's sitting in his hotel room with one of his British companions. And this buddy of his said, "Preacher, why are you so successful in leading people to Christ?" And Dwight L. Moody went over to the window in that hotel room and pulled back the drapes and came back over and sat down. on the edge of the bed. And he said, go out, go up to the window and look out the window and tell me what you see. And so this British buddy of his walked up to the window, looked out, and he said, man, there's scores of people down there. There's a crowd on the square. There's people everywhere. And D.L. Moody said, that's good. He said, tell me, what else do you see? And so the British buddy of his got back up, went over to the window, looked. He said, well, I see men and women, and I see little boys and little girls. And came back and sat down. And then again, Dwight L. Moody said, go back and look out one more time. And so now this guy's getting agitated, because evidently he's not seeing what D.L. Moody wanted him to see. And this passionate soul winner, Dwight L. Moody, got up from the edge of the bed, went over to the window, and looked at the masses of people, and turned back to his British buddy with tears welling up in his eyes. And he said, I see people going to hell without Jesus. And he said, until you see that, you're not ever going to be successful at being a witness for the Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, what do you see? What do you see in the 5 o'clock traffic? What do you see at the school lunchroom, students? What do you see at the grocery store besides high prices? What do you see at work? What do you see in your neighborhood? And with the holidays coming, what do you see in your family? Don't you think it's about time we ought to let our light shine? Because people are lost and people need love. And even more than that, they need life that only Jesus can give to them. It's decision time, most important time of the service. And unless you, please, don't get up and leave and walk out and all that stuff during this time. It's the most important. I don't want anybody to get distracted. I want the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to us. You just bow your head and quietly and reverently stand to your feet. Quietly and reverently stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you. And if you're here this morning, here's the gospel. Christ loved you enough to give His life for you. He lived a perfect, sinless life for 33 years. Never sinned. And that's how He was able to satisfy God's wrath for our sin. He became the payment for sin. And He died for you and me so that we could be forgiven of our sin. And 3 days later, He got up from the grave, never to die again. And He's alive today, offering salvation and forgiveness to anyone who would be willing to turn from their sin and turn to Him by faith and surrender to Him as the Lord of your life. If you'd be willing to do that today, we'd love to help you and lead you in a prayer. But you've got to step out and come. And the vast majority of you here that are saved, I want to challenge everybody in here. Look up at me just real quickly. I want to challenge everybody in here to sign up to share your faith just once a week. Just once a week with somebody. He'll put them in your path. Put your name on this thing. Sign it. And then just start sharing your faith once a week. God will give you the words to say. You've got a story to tell. Jesus has changed your life. He saved you. Nobody can argue with that. And so this is going to be up here on the altar. You bring a pen or a pencil with you and get your John Henry on here and say, God, I know people are lost. I know people need love and I know people need life. And I'm going to do whatever I can do to shine my light for your glory. Father, bless this time of decision. bless this time of counsel. Bless this time of salvation. Do, Lord, what only you can do. It's not about what I want, Father. This is all about what you want, what you're calling us to do. Forgive us, God, for keeping the best news that anybody can ever hear. Salvation belongs to Jesus. Help us to begin to share our faith. And if there's folks here today that need the Lord, oh God, bring them to this altar so we can pray over them and share with them how they can leave here saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Andrew's going to lead us in an invitational hymn. This thing's right up here on the altar. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.